Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Can we share a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you and to bless you for another day like this. We thank you, Lord of heaven, for the fact that you've preserved our souls, you've kept us, you've delivered us from dangers we were unaware of, you've preserved us, Lord, from all kinds of evil. Lord, take all the praise and glory in the name of Jesus. Wherever your word has gone, your word has always prospered. Your word has always prevailed. I'm praying that this evening that your word will again prevail over the circumstances of our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The word of God says you sent your word and your word delivered us. It, Lord, not only delivered us, it also brought healing and strength to us. I pray this day wherever and whatever we may be going through, let your power accompany your word in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let yokes be broken in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let the confusion of the enemy be stilled in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let there be victory. Let there be praise.
Amen.
Let joy fill the hearts of your people in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we ask that your angels will minister alongside with us even this evening. And Lord of heaven, I pray that you will glorify the name of your son Jesus in our hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Once again, we thank you, we bless you, and appreciate you for all who has, Lord, joined us on this telecast. We are praying that more people will join, that you remind them wherever they may be, that whatever it is that the enemy is using to distract them, we rebuke it, and we ask that your angels will direct their hearts to this place, and they will begin to pay attention and listen in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Trust you, Lord, that you will bring things into our consciousness that we have been unaware of in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Bless your great name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I would like to first and foremost thank God for this evening again and for this opportunity that we have in coming across to you via this medium. On Sunday we met, it was such liberating moment when all of us gathered together and to worship and to bless God. Somebody told me that there's nothing like us coming together, and I agree with that person. And I thank God that that which has been used by the enemy to stop us from meeting will be removed very soon in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Once again, I also want you to thank every member of the church, both at home and away. Every one of you that celebrated me yesterday during my birthday, I trust and pray that God will honor you too in the name of Jesus. I was overwhelmed with love, and I want to just say that I love you all. I thank you. I really thank you. I have no words. I wish I was poetic. I would have really composed something to appreciate all of you. Your texts, your calls, the messages, everything. I appreciate you. God bless you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, this evening, I want us to go, as we continue in our series. Please remember our overall theme. We are talking about the warfare of the kingdom. In talking about the warfare of the kingdom, we began to see why it is not possible for us to bring forth the mind of God concerning the earth. When we look at the prayer of that Jesus taught his church in Matthew chapter 6, he said, this is how you should pray: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So in other words, our first major priority in prayers and in desire should be how his kingdom will come, how his will be established on earth. Hallelujah. That is God's concern. That is God's number one priority. He has no other priority on earth than for his kingdom to come and his will be done. If anyone, therefore, is running a program on earth or a ministry or any other thing that we may be doing that is not in line or in sync or tandem with that one singular purpose, is working at cross purposes with the purpose of God. He has only one objective, that his kingdom may be built. And we realize also that the church is God's vehicle of birthing that will of God. Amen. And so the church does not exist for herself. The church was not set up to minister to our needs. The church was set up to carry out and to implement God's primary objective of implementing his will on earth. Of course, you will realize when Jesus was going, again he spoke about the kingdom. He said, go out to the world. Go and make disciples of all nations. Compel them. Convert them. Disciple them. Get them to obey all I've taught you and all that I will teach you. Praise God. So that's our primary objective, to go to the nations and disciple. When you say somebody is a disciple of somebody, that means that person under discipline. We are to discipline the earth. We are to discipline the nations of the world and get them to do the will of God. That is unlike our mental perception before of just going to evangelize. We were not called to evangelize. That is not our calling. That's not our purpose. It's not our primary purpose at all. And our lack of understanding, our limited perspective to the whole program of God has affected the way we went about doing things. And I'm trusting God that as the end begins to draw near, we will begin to align into the perfect purpose of God in Jesus' name. And of course, we will want to ask, if then the church is God's vehicle of accomplishing that, we now begin to understand why he gave to the church men. Ephesians chapter 4. He gave the church five gifts. Their primary assignment is not to go about preaching and doing miracles. Their primary assignment is what? To build the church. That is their first assignment. The other ones come after that. Of course, we cannot bring you into ministry. We cannot bring you into leadership except you have been doing ministry. It just makes sense. Do you understand? But when you come into ministry, you must understand that your primary objective is to replicate yourself in the hearts and in the minds of God's people, to equip them to do the primary ministry that God has called the church to do, which is found in Matthew chapter 28. From verse 16, and Mark 16, you'll find it there. It said, go into all the world and disciple nations. So that is how it works, and that's how it should work. And I wish we will understand this. At a particular time, the former member of our church was coming to me and said, Pastor, you don't visit people. You don't follow up. And I told her, that is not my job description. It's not my job to go and do that. It's your job as a church member to be following all these people up. I've done that when I was growing up in the faith. So it's not something that I've not done. There's virtually no department I've not been in the church. I've been in the choir, I've been in the ushering, I've been in the Bible study, I've been in drama. Which other units do you have in church again? Eh? I've been in prayer. Those are the major things that we had at that time. I've been there. That all that helped to build me up, to make me what I am today. Hallelujah. So it's your own turn to go and do the follow-up. Go and do the follow-up. Go and do the evangelism. My job is to equip you to go and do that. Praise God. You say, ah, Pastor, where did I get that from? Let us go to Ephesians chapter 4. You will see that in Ephesians chapter 4. I think I just need to just quickly do that so that you can understand what I'm talking about. The Bible said, let's look at from verse 12, the purpose said, of course, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What is the purpose why he gave them in verse 12? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So when somebody asks you, are you in the ministry? You are in the day you were born again, you came into ministry. That is your job. Mine is to train you and equip you for the work of the ministry. Praise God. My own ministry is to equip you for your own ministry, which is go make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. And the edifying of the body of Christ. That's my primary assignment. I have to build the body of Christ. Amen. I said this job will continue until we all come to the unity of the faith. All of us must come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now let me explain something about knowledge here. What people call eternal life is actually knowledge. Because that knowledge will determine the way you behave. Praise God. It will determine how you handle things. Because you are now knowledgeable. I was talking to one of my daughters this morning. I said, look, when a person is ignorant of certain things, you cannot judge. You cannot punish, as it were. Because he's a babe. He has no understanding of certain things. But when he or she has come to a place of knowledge, and he still begins to act and behave contrary to that knowledge, then something is wrong. Then you must begin to take decisive actions against that person. It is pseudo love to overlook it and say, well, he's a brother, let me walk in love. That is stupid love. It's not biblical love. Praise the Lord. You must do what the Bible says you should do. It says, can two walk together except they come into agreement? If a person is not walking according to the knowledge of the truth that he has seen in the Bible, then he's not a person you should walk with. Praise God. Are you with me? Now, that's not the emphasis of today's teaching. So don't let me get distracted. So where am I coming from? The church has a warfare. The Bible said about Jesus. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It said, the Lord said, he said, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The church is the body of Jesus. And we are part. That foot is part of his body. So it is not Jesus as the head that will make the enemies God's footstool. It is a body that will make his enemies his footstool. So we have to work with God to bring this to pass. So there's so much to do. And this is why I tell people when I talk about Jesus coming back, I say, look, it's not looking like it can come back yet because certain things are still not in place. And we as leaders have to put these things in place to make it possible for Jesus to come back. Hallelujah. We have to make it. So when they say, oh, the Antichrist, they give us the sign of the mark, and mark of the beast, and all that. It's either we're going to do it willingly, or we're going to do it forcefully. Either way, we have to get the job done. The job of God must be done. Unlike the days of Joshua, that Joshua was unable to finish the work that God gave him. Because God himself told him, he said, Joshua, you are advanced in age, and there is still yet more land to cover. It's not going to be like that in this case. Everything on his mind, he will accomplish. Oh, you say, Pastor, how do I know that? Oh, of course, you need to ask me. Revelations. Look at Revelation chapter, I think chapter 10, verse 7. The Bible says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. He will finish what he started. Everything he has spoken, that he has told the servants, the prophets, he will accomplish everything. Whether you will be part of that or not, is up to you and I. And I can only pray and trust God that he will help us, that we'll play our own part and play it well in the name of Jesus. Amen. So having said all this, you now know where we are coming from. And by way of summarizing, we have looked at this warfare from different perspectives. We have said, look, you as a person, there's a warfare against you. Oh, of course. And we have also noted that there is a warfare that is also attached to our family. We have warfare in the family unit. Satan is waging war at that level. Satan is waging war at your personal level. Praise God. Satan has moved there and he has also started waging war in our communities. He's waging war also in the churches. We have explained out, you know, the different ways by which Satan has been coming in a very stealthy way, in a very unassuming way. And what we normally note or we see is people just misbehave in church. And you wonder, how are these people misbehaving? No, we are dealing with spirits using that person. Please remember in the book of Genesis that there was a being called the serpent that accommodated Lucifer. Lucifer had no right to operate on earth. But because the serpent was a being of this world, Satan was a being of the second heavens. The serpent invited him in and accommodated him, using, offering him his facilities, his body, his mind, everything for use. And that's how he has been operating since. He looks for a person that will accommodate him, a person that he can use to carry out his nefarious acts. It was in the temptation on the mount of temptation that we see Lucifer himself come himself. He didn't use anybody, he came himself to tempt Jesus. And after that encounter, the Bible says he left Jesus for a season. Every time we saw Satan come, he was always using people. Always, all the Pharisees were under his control. Herod was under his control. He was using them steadily. And he's still doing the same thing today. So when you see a brother misbehave in church, Paul said, we are not waging war. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Don't ever think. I think that's a training we have to cultivate. That the person is not misbehaving because he or she is misbehaving. It's not the person we should fight. We should fight the spirits that are walking through that person and deal with that spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have to learn it. I know it's not a lesson you can learn in one day. You have to start practicalizing and learning it. There are times when you also misbehave. You come under the influence of demons without knowing. Now, I'm not talking about temptation. That's not what I'm talking about. No. That's a different level of warfare. Unfortunately, sometimes I laugh. You, everybody that has a ministry, we all assume everybody that has a ministry is called of God. But unfortunately, we are unaware that many ministers could easily have been raised by Satan himself to do his work. And that's why you have to be careful. Now, can you imagine if Peter, under the anointing of Satan, could have persuaded Jesus not to go to the cross? What kind of ministry would he have had? And he was and would have been quoting scriptures to Jesus. He would have told Jesus, have you not read that it is written down that you shall not die but live? And if he had persuaded Jesus, he would have gone ahead telling everybody that I persuaded him. He wanted to kill himself. Please, don't know. Always listen to me. And he would have continued like that, preaching and going up and down, doing miracles, not knowing that this man has been raised by Satan to work his work. So Paul told us when he was writing to the Corinthians, he said, don't be surprised. It was like the 1 Corinthians 11 or so. It's on 2 Corinthians 11, whichever one. I think it's 2 Corinthians 11. He said, don't be surprised that the servants of Satan themselves are now... Satan has turned himself into an angel of light and also his ministers. So he has ministers that he sends out to do the work of ministry. And I'm sorry for you if you're under that kind of ministry. Your life is gone. You are gone. There's no hope for you. So don't go before God on judgment. They say, it's not my fault. It was the minister who sent. God said, I didn't send him. It was Satan that sent him. And there were all the warnings were there. All the signs were there to let you know I didn't send him. Because he was serving his own master. And so we have all this in the scriptures warning all the kind of ministries that Satan will be sending to the world. And they will come in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ warned us. He said, many will come in my name. They will tell you that I came, that Jesus sent me. And I have the proof. I have anointing. But don't forget that the Bible calls those anointing and those manifestations lying signs and wonders. They are signs and they are wonders, but they are lying. What's their purpose? To deceive you. So if you have no discernment and you cannot understand these things, I'm not sure you have any hope in these last days. I can only pray and ask God that will have mercy and deliver you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So as I was therefore saying that this time that we are living in is a time of warfare. Whether you know it or not, they've declared war. The day Jesus rose from the dead, war was declared. The battle line was drawn. Once you say, Lord, I give my life to you, you have joined an army. An army of people who have one commitment alone. One. Not two. Not three. One. Like the men of David. They had only one thing in mind when they came to meet David in Adullam, the cave of Adullam. They said they came with one purpose in mind. To turn the kingdom back to David. All of them came for one purpose. So I want to ask you, What is your purpose for coming to Jesus? What's the purpose of joining the church? What's the purpose of raising the ministry that you have today? What is your purpose? I feel very sad that I hear people say, God raised me to go and make millionaires. There is nowhere in these scriptures that I read that God raised anybody to go and make millionaires. It's not scriptural. It begins to tell me that certain people, Satan just raised them. Satan just raised them. He didn't raise people to become. You don't need a ministry to raise teacher to be a millionaire. Go to Lagos Business School and you will learn how to be a millionaire. You don't need space science to be a millionaire. I don't need to teach you that in church. What is the church? Paul said is a pillar, is the ground and the pillar of what? Of truth. Not the place where I teach people how to become millionaires. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I told, where is my church? Where are you? Are you all sleeping?
No,
I say, praise the Lord. What do you do?
Hallelujah.
You praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't say because we are two. Not because we are two. We are also in church. Amen. It's looking, I'm going to take your time. I've never started my message. And this is just Jara that I'm here. I think I'll take about an hour more today. Praise the Lord. I pray your data does not finish. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, where was I? Okay, what's your reason for joining the church? What's the reason for raising the church? God didn't send you and I to raise the church, to raise men and make them millionaires. He raised us to equip them for the work of ministry. Of course, we need money. Of course, we need to be told that we need to work. Yes, we can teach that along the line, but that is not primarily our purpose. It's as like when Okocha is dribbling. You think that Okocha's intention is to dribble and entertain. That is it, but ultimately, if the ball does not enter the net, his dribbling is in vain. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I hope you get that analogy. If you are on the football field and people are playing and people are running up and down and they are not scoring, and they once asked the coach of Enugu Rangers, that was Christian Chukwu, the reporter said, we noticed that Enugu Rangers, they don't play midfield game, you know, like Pogba and all those down play, you know, they have those sublime skills they display on the field. So we don't see all that. So we always see you guys just balloon the ball and Chukwu asked the reporter, I said, have you ever noticed that the goalpost is not found in the midfield? So why are you wasting time playing ball in the midfield? I just thought, go and play the ball inside the opponent's 18-yard box and score and leave the place. Nobody asks how many people dribbled. They don't want to know. The question they will ask is, who won the game? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So nobody wants to know how many millionaires we made. Somebody went to America, one of the popular ministers of God in Nigeria went to America and was boasting up and down that the number of millionaires he makes every week in Nigeria, you can't count them again. Is that your calling? He didn't send you to go and make millionaires. He said you go and preach the gospel and make disciples of nations. Not to go and be making millionaires. So you see how subtle it is for Satan to take the original from you and give you a fake calling. And without you realizing, you move from being a minister of God to being a minister of Satan. Very, very easy. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
So therefore, when we talk about the warfare of the kingdom, we have to realize that primarily, at the stage we are in, you can't raise a ministry and all your life is helping people to fight the enemies of his father, the enemies of his mother, the enemies that are called ancestral spirits. That is primarily not your calling. Everyone in the body of Christ should be taught how to solve those kind of problems. The bigger enemies to fry. The bigger issues to deal with.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's all demonic distractions. That is what the Bible says. Take on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are falling prey. We are falling into the trap
And the cunning craftiness of Satan has swerved us. Satan has neutralized us without us realizing it. A lot of spiritual energy has gone into building those ministries. What a waste. Am I saying that deliverance ministry is not necessary? No, it's necessary. But that's not your primary call. Everyone, every child of God should not be afraid to confront the spirits. I was telling one of my daughters, I'll be explaining this later on, at a much deeper depth. Listen to me. You can't be going to do deliverance, and you get to the deliverance point, and you are praying for his deliverance. It is wrong. When you are going in for a deliverance matter, you are not praying, you are casting out devils. Immediately you cast them out. Christ said, "This time shall follow them, they will cast out devils." So we have two primary opposition that we are dealing with. We are dealing with demons and we are dealing with sicknesses. Those, all the problems of humanity is summarized in those two. So I want to believe God that God will help us as we look more and more into all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I also want to show you something about how the spirits fight us at the level and the dimension at governmental and national level. Remember, they fight us at our individual levels. They fight us with curses. They fight us with temptations. They fight us with all kinds of crazy things, thoughts. A lot has been said about that. There are books and all those things there. They fight us at our family level. You know about that a lot. Ogunidile and all the things that we know is there. They are real. I was talking somewhere in UK and somebody said, there's nothing called... I said, look, because you grew up in London, the witches in London and America, they are more sophisticated than the ones you have in your village there. Mm. Terrible demons. Terrible... You know, and I was talking yesterday, we were watching one film. That in that film, that Ibo was telling, he just married a bride, and I was telling the bride that, look, in over about 4 generations, they entered into one fantastic wealth. And they said that every time a new person comes into the family, they must do a ritual. They must do a ritual, and they must sustain the wealth in that family. Their forefathers enter the path with Lucifer so that their family can be rich. So when you look at rich people in this earth and you wonder, what did they do? They are selling guguru. It's not guguru that made them rich. There are paths, covenants that made them rich. Abraham did not become rich until he entered covenant with God. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes, sir.
It's covenant too. If some family are poor today because their forefathers entered covenants of poverty that made them poor. The people who are today rich enter covenant to become rich. But don't be surprised. The word of God is true. The Bible says they accumulate wealth for it to be taken away from them. So for them not to take it away, they enter a perpetual covenant. That thing has to be renewed in that family over and over and over and over. And it's usually blood sacrifice. So when you look at someone like Bill Gates and all of those people, you think it's computer programming that they wrote. I'm not here to talk about wealth. No. That's not my purpose tonight. Praise God. Don't let me enter that one. All these guys, you are unaware what they do in the dark. You don't know Jack. They just tell you, we are writing computer program. You know how many people are writing computer program and they have not made 1,000 naira since. So it's not about computer program. Like one person used to say, he said, this ministry is not about prayer. It's not about Bible study. I looked at my friend and I said, bros, what I read in Acts of Apostles, the Bible said they prayed. He said, we give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Our idea is it's not by prayer, it's not by the word. Who is telling lies? Is it John Peter? Who spoke by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? I'll be this person. Not telling. People are laying foundation in the churches, building churches that has those spiritual foundation in God. They go to do covenants. So you seek power of covenants, which we'll talk about later on in the name of Jesus. So where am I? How Satan battles people at governmental levels. Praise God. I have so much here. So much. The Bible has so much about this kind of stories. But I want to pick some certain stories, and then we will hope I can finish tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now let us look at 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 1. I want to talk to us about David. You know, David was the man that God loved. David was the Swiss psalmist of Israel. David was the iconic epitome of who a godly leader should be. Praise God. On Sunday, I told us how David succumbed to temptation. But this one I want to talk to you about is a much more dangerous operation that Lucifer came against him. Now, there are two records of this same accident that are recorded in the Bible. I want to look at the two incidents so that you can understand it. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. We don't know what Israel did. We don't know what happened. But the Bible says God's anger was kindled against Israel. Now, I want to try and see other translation. Maybe that can help us. All I'm seeing here is like they are saying the same. They didn't give us a clue. They say God's anger again raged against Israel, and he incited David against them. How? He said, go and number Israel. What did Israel do? Like I said, we are unaware. Obviously, something happened. Something happened that led to God being angry with Israel. Now it says, and he moved David against them. He wanted to punish Israel for something they did. And what he did, he moved David against them. That was what the writer of Samuel said, that it was God who moved against David. Hallelujah. And he went ahead to number Israel. Verse 2, for the king said to Joab, the captain of the host. Now, we are telling us the meaning why God was angry. For he said, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people that I, David, might know the number of the people. Verse 3, and Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add more unto thy people, how many soever they be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of the Lord the king may see it. But why does my Lord the king delight in this thing? Joab may be bad for many reasons, but for this one, I give him credit. He knew instinctively that David was wrong, that this is not right. May God bless Israel. May God increase them. But why, my Lord, do you want to number them? Because in the Old Testament, God gave Moses specific instructions about doing census and the objective and the reason for doing the census. But here, David was doing out of pride. There was a pride. Do you remember the servant of God? His name is called Nebuchadnezzar. Everyone knows he was God's servant. In the book of Isaiah, he called him Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Stood on the terrace in his palace one day and looked around and saw everywhere and said, is this not Babylon? That by my own might, by my power, by my sabiness, I have built. And when those words came out of his mouth, heaven responded. You know the rest of the story. It's called pride. When you are proud, when you have, oh God, when you just say, please, the account now, please go and check how much we really have. How much do I have in the account? Say, Daddy, not much. We just have about 1 billion. Oh, okay. So well, okay. Now let me tell you, when the church has a billionaire in his account, what does he do with 1 billion? That's when you start thinking about things you should not be thinking. That's when you say, I want to buy a plane. What can we buy you? Let us expand this church. Praise God. Prosperity has its problem. Those of you that are thinking, God, just prosper me. Let me have one helicopter. It has problem. I'm saying my own now. Ask those who have car. Abi brother, yo. That's problem. And so they said, God was angry. But look at the account. The same story in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. The same account. Now, in Chronicles, the writer said in verse 1, and Satan stood up against Israel. Hallelujah. Satan did what? Stood up against Israel. And what did he do? And provoke David. That was why God was angry. Because David should have known that whatever, have you ever provoked you before? Okay, when we were small, we used to fight. We were small, fight. That guy say, if it's your father that born you, touch me. Have they fought with you like that before? I want to, I don't want to speak in Yoruba. Though some of you may not understand Yoruba. If it's your father, okay, if you know your father born, you cross this line. What is he doing? He's provoking you. David went to provoke David. Satan went to provoke David. If you are true, and that was what he did to Jesus. If you are truly the Son of God, you have been, people have been saying all this, and they've been telling me, but I'm not sure. If it is your father that born you, convert these stones to bread, then I will believe you. That's how he does with leaders. He provokes them to act against God's will. You say temptation. No, this is not temptation. This is a different, this is a whole level, a new level of operation. He was provoking David. And David was saying, Amy, Amy, me. You are trying me. He said, shut up. If you are the king, number them. Do you really know how many soldiers you have? Do you really know how many men you have in Israel? Do you know how many they conducted the census last? I think they conducted census in the days of Joshua or so. Nobody, I don't think anybody conducted census again. So all this noise you are making, you are war power. How many people gone do you have? Do you know how many the Syrians are? Do you know how many the Aito, who are those guys? Aitites. All those Aitites. The tithes that are plenty. Do you really know? You are making noise. Well, I said to go and sit down, just stop making noise there. They were saying, you are trying. Joab, come. Go and number Israel. And God's anger was kindled. The protection he had over them, he pulled his hands away. That's what happens in government. Where nobody knows what is going on. When the man is alone in his seat, the man is in his office. Demons are attacking his mind. They are provoking him to do things. Now, you will remember, if you follow the story, the Bible said, when it came to a point, and David realized, yay, I have blundered. God said, I'll give you three options. Choose the one you want. They should pursue you. They should kill you. God gave him bad options. If you have played that, you know what they say, Kosakweje, you run, he will chop. You don't run, he will chop. Anyhow you do, he will chop. David said, Kai, it's better I fall into the hands of God than fall into the hands of men. And God said, so be it. He called one angel, not two. Remember, one third of the angels fell. Two thirds remain. Only God knows how many two thirds equal to. Praise God. You know, I've told us that it's not all the angels that Satan knows. There are certain angels he has never met before since God created him to the day he fell. Today, he has not met certain people, certain angels. There's one angel he has not met before. He has never even seen him. There was one angel he met, but when he died from the oven, it's called the angel of the resurrection. They've never shown him before. He has never come out before. They've never even seen him. He just came that day and came down from heaven. And he was one who raised Jesus from the dead. It's called the angel of the resurrection. That angel that removed that stone and facilitated Jesus' resurrection. And what Jason said, was sharing the testimony. He said the demon said they remember that. He said he will rise up the third day. So all the demons all over the world, the ones in hell, they left hell. They left hell, but they came to Jerusalem to make sure that Jesus does not enter his body at the designated time. Because if he missed that time, it was going to be impossible for him to enter that body again. Probably the body would start decay. I don't know. They say it takes about 3 days for the body to decay. And they said, you will not leave my soul in there. You will not allow my body to decay. Yeah, I said so. Praise God. So they amassed. So he said, when they were waiting for him to come, because his soul must come out of the grave and come and join his body. Already he had collected the keys of hell and death. He was preaching to the saints that were in the Hades there, Abraham and the rest of them. So they ran, having defeated them, they ran to come and we lay him at the grave. That let us see how you will join your body and want to see how you want to resurrect. So they had waited for him. So while they were waiting, the only that as he's coming, they would just be, you know, have you ever seen, I don't know, all this wrestling. When you one comes, you beat him back, you fall down. The other one comes, you beat him. By the time you are beating all of them, time and luck. See, you understand? So that was the plan. By the time all the demons in hell come around to come and waylay you, how many of them will you fight before they blow the whistle? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Said when it was just about an hour, said the heavens opened and angels began to sing. Said there was this song that we normally sing during Easter. One popular song that we sing. Many of you don't know where the song came from. It's just somebody just penned it down. No, they gave it from heaven. And some men caught the revelation and penned it down. And they sing it. I don't remember the song now. My anointing for singing has gone now. Hallelujah. So when it was few minutes to 12, then an angel came down, having the glory of God. It's recorded in the Bible. That was Satan's testimony to Mobile Jesus about who Jesus was. Said that angel came down and said they were ready to fight him. In fact, they were ready to level the whole Jerusalem, if need be. To just be like a nuclear holocaust took place. Said that angel just landed. He was just touching the head one by one. Come and see. That was the first time people would be falling under anointing. Satan has never fallen before under anointing. He didn't even fight them. They were just falling. Just cleared the way. When he cleared the way, he removed the stone. When he moved, Jesus' soul came, entered his body, came out. If remember, the Bible says when John, Peter, them entered the tomb, they saw that the napkin, everything was folded. It took time. Very neat man. Jesus was not like many of us. When we wake up from the bed, including, I don't lay bed. Just go and we are going like that. Anytime. You can push out. It doesn't matter. We've been doing this in secondary school. We only leave bed when it's time for inspection. But when there's no inspection, we are okay. You know? He laid his number and laid it and came. It took time. That angel is the angel of resurrection. Satan has not seen him before. There's another one that will come and that he has not seen. That angel that will come and bind him for 1,000 years.
Huh.
He has not met him. No, Satan is called son of the morning. He came with his power. He came with power. But this time, those angels he's meeting, he has never met them before. Guys, they're bad. They are mean angels. They are trained. Their job specification is how to hold Satan. They know how to hold him. And he carried him and threw him inside the bottomless pit and locked the gate. For 1,000 years, he walked away. What is the name of that angel? Is it an archangel or a green angel? So all of you doing ministry of Malaika, you don't even know what you are doing. That's what I see. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Where was I? And Satan provoked Israel. And then, when the angel came into Israel and began to kill people, please remember, the people that these angels began to kill were men. They had fathers, they had wives, they had children, they had relatives. They knew nothing about what was transferred that was taking place in the palace. It was between Lucifer and David. That angel did not enter David's house. He didn't kill any of his children. He didn't touch any of his family. Who did he kill? Those that knew nothing. That angel wasted people. Then David's eyes opened. I said, I have sinned. Say, God have mercy. That's how we got that. We know about that plot of land that he bought and they erected the temple of God on. Satan was the one who created that sin. He wanted Israel to provoke God and they did provoke him. That was the same thing he did in the days Sherontti of Moses. When he called Balaam, he said, come and curse Israel. Satan tried. He was using Balaam to curse. Balaam tried. God would not let him curse. Ah. When he went back home, Satan said, Shana, like this you go do. He said, now I for do now. So I said, look, go and tell Balak. Send your girls to the camp. Let them defile Israel. Let them break the edge. He said, God will kill them. And so they provoked God to anger. And God responded. It's satanic wiles. And we must be very conversant when we begin to interpret and try to understand what is happening in our nation. It's not ordinary high. The person will just wake up one day and begin to steal money or begin to say things or begin to pass unrighteous decrees. It's not ordinary high. There are transactions going on in the realm of the spirit. Satan is attacking their minds. And God will help us in Jesus' name. The second person I want us to look at. I don't think I have the time to look at this. I want to look at Ahab. You remember Brother Ahab? Ahab was a brother before he became a backsliding brother. Let us, 1 Kings. The story is also written in two places. In Kings, 1 Kings, and also in 2 Chronicles. Praise God. Now let's go to 1 Kings and let us look at the story there. I want to read from verse 25 to 29. Chapter 21. 1 Kings 21, verses 25 to 31. The Bible says, and there was no like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. He gave himself. He sold himself. He offered himself. Now, this man was the king. The Bible says, where the word of a king is, there's what? There's power. The reason why they call, in the olden days, a Yoruba Oba, they call him Kabiyeosi. Kabiyeosi means Kabiyeosi. That means no one can question you. I watched some drama that depicted what was going on. They said, when they say Oba, if you have a beautiful wife, you are in danger of losing your wife, except if you have spiritual power. So everybody that has beautiful wife must go and acquire occultic powers. Otherwise, the king and those who are powerful just put their leg and take your wife, and you can't do anything. When the king takes your wife, there is no case. You can't go anywhere to go and argue the case. Nobody will hear you because he's Kabiyeosi. Praise God. And so, but there was a man called Ahab, the first king in Israel, who sold himself to work wickedness. He gave Lucifer unhindered access. That so Lucifer told him, use him the way you want to use him. And his wife Jezebel encouraged him. May God bless him with a good wife.
Amen.
This wife, when he says a person is Jezebel, when he says Jezebel, you don't know Jezebel. Jezebel does not operate in a prostitute house. That's not where Jezebel operates. Those prostitutes are a spirit of prostitution. Jezebel operates in government. That's where you see Jezebel. Anywhere you see government operating, that's where you see Jezebel. People only remember Jezebel, that Jezebel went to pay fees. That was a spirit of prostitution, seduction that just came by the way. This spirit is a terrible spirit. It can operate in a man or a woman. It's illegitimate operation of authority. Hallelujah. And usually when you see Jezebel, you will see Ahab. And so where Paul said he doesn't want a woman to usurp authority in the church. He's not just talking about women not coming to ministry. He was talking about usurping, taking over authority. And it's true for men. If you have not been called into it, or if you have not been chosen for a work, you don't go to that unit and take authority from the person that was given the authority. It's a Jezebel operation. When you start manipulating, when you start telling people to do what is wrong, it's a Jezebel operation. It's demonic. So Ahab was a man like that who sold himself. And the Bible says he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. 27. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that was a judgment that Elijah had passed, that he rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay his sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Say thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me, because he had humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Praise God. That was what God told him. But do you know the funny thing? God did not bring that evil in his days. It was, yes, it was after. But God didn't have to take him out of the way. God had to terminate his government. And that was how God went about terminating his government. Praise God. Now let us look at 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings 22. And see how God went about terminating his government. It's a very, very interesting story. Let's look at this. Well, let's take it from verse 1. And they continued after that humility, after he went about softly, and God said, I will not do it in his year. 3 years went, God kept quiet. God was looking at everything. Adakenja. He's a terrible person to fight to. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Brother Jehoshaphat has a problem. He doesn't know how to avoid people he should avoid. This is why he calls pseudo love. I want to work with my brother. Ahab was not his brother. Yeah, by blood they were related. By behavior they were not brothers. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. Can you see? Trouble sleep. Yanga go wake up. And he said to Jehoshaphat, Will thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? What was he thinking about for the past 3 years? Why was it that it was when Jehoshaphat came that he began to think things he should not think? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, Shall I go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. I hate him. So look, this is a problem with leadership. Not everybody is going to like you. Nobody is going to speak well of you. Praise God. But if you have common sense, you will learn to listen to even those who don't like you. Said, I hate him. Why? He said, For he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat each sat on their throne, having put on their robes. And they sat in a void place. May he not sit in a void place. Amen. In the name of Jesus. That's where these two men sat, in a void place. Spiritual connection. The way the scripture uses words is very interesting. Amen. They sat in the void place, in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them, and Zedekiah, the son of Chenahiah, made him horns of iron, and said, Thus saith the Lord, With this thou shalt push the Syrians, for until thou art consumed them. Hallelujah. And all the prophets prophesied, say, Go up to Ramoth Gilead, and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hands. May the Lord deliver us from false prophets. Amen. In Jesus' name. The man did not know. He knew they were false. He knew they were prophesying out of their stomach. Because every time they prophesy, they go with brown envelope. So, may brown envelope not in, or hunger not incite you to prophesy. In the name of Jesus. So when prophets go around, there was one woman that met me on the way to church one morning. He said she was just coming from the mountain, and the Lord sent her to me. I began to say all kinds of funny things. When she finished, then, madam, I'm going to church. But apparently we are coming from somewhere. I brought my wallet and gave her 200 naira. Ah! He said, for all the prophecy, all the prayer, all the coming, it's only 200 naira. Ah, okay, madam, you said God sent you. God should have told you that I was not, I had no money. My friend, if you have, in fact, this 200 naira was supposed to be my offering. I have 400 naira. I gave 200 naira of the offering. I give my 200 naira. I don't even go back and tell God I did not give you anything. She now collected it grudgingly, was grumbling. I said, well, I'm going to church. And I walked away. Praise God. People yeah. prophesy because of hunger. Just come and tell me, sir, Ibn Pami, I need money. I would have given her more money. They are coming to give me one false prophecy. Because I also have the Spirit of God. You are a minister, I'm a minister. You see, at this level, I'm asking me, There's a prophecy. You are? When were you born in pro-ministry? We have worked with people who knew the Bible, who knew God. I will tell that Jesus is in this room, and you will be afraid. You, that's how they came from one mountain, which mountain, my friend? But I'll go and tell me, give them 500 and go and eat. Yeah? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
These are the kind of prophets we have. Please don't become that kind of prophet. If you can't, you don't have money, if your ministry is not paying, please go and work. It's not by force. Jesus will not kill you. Because he called you and there was nobody to give you money. Go and work. He won't kill you. When it is time, he will provide. Praise God. Don't become a false prophet out of hunger. These prophets became false because of hunger. They wanted a place to sit in the government house. When people come say, yesterday I was in the government house, I saw the wife of the governor, we heard together, and so what? What is it normal? Is their stay in government house not tenured? When they leave, are they not ordinary men? The police will stop on the road and say, Park, Oga, show me your particular. I'm former governor. I beg, show me your particular. That's what you are boasting about. I'm sorry for you. You need to be born again. Praise God. Pastor Beru, understand me. Praise God. And then verse 11, I will finish here today. And Zedekiah, the son of Chemnaiah, made him... No, I've talked about that. Now, the Bible says, and the messenger that was going to call Micah spoke unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. With one mouth, let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord said to me, that will I speak. Okay. And when he came to the king, the king said to him, verse 15, Micah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of your king. I want to believe that between the time that messenger saw him and they got to the king, the man kept begging him, please, don't say anything. Just go and tell him it is well. And the man will let you go. You know, the man hates you. Just so when he got there, I said, my Lord, my king, go and prosper. I like the discourse. And the king said unto him, verse 16, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of... He knew the other prophets were lying. Why did he tell the other prophets, stop prophesying lies? Tell me the truth. But it was Micah who was saying, but how many times will I tell you, always telling me the truth, which is a lie. Praise the Lord. But that's not the issue. Then the king answered, since you want to know the truth, hear the word of the Lord. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that had not a shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master. Let every man return every man to his house in peace. And the king said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he will not prophesy? He will prophesy no good concerning me but evil. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Now please begin to understand the transactions in the courts of heaven. This was a transaction that took place. This was a decision about Ahab that was taking place in the courts of heaven. God was seated as king. And we must visualize this when we are coming into the place of prayer and we are coming to decide and take judgment about issues of a nation, upon governments, upon authority figures. This was what was going on. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Isaiah also saw the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6. I saw the Lord. Why did he see the Lord? In the year King Huot, who died, Uzziah the king
died.
He saw the Lord seated on the throne. This man saw the Lord sitting on the throne when the issue of a king was to be decided. Praise the Lord. And all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. The last time I also saw this was in the case of Job, when all the host of heaven sat together and Satan came in to come against Job. Kings, when the matter of kings and government and governmental authorities are decided, they are decided in the courtrooms of heaven. The Bible says God is judge. He judges among the nations. He raises one up and he casts down the others. So when we come into, when we come to God and he's seated as judge, we do not relate with him as a father. Because he's no longer a father once he's seated on that throne as a judge. You must recognize that. If you enter into his presence and you are thinking that he's my father, you have entered based on the wrong protocol. Wrong protocol. Praise God. I may be the brother of the governor of Ondo State. When we are in the parlor, I can say, Egbon, how are you, sir? We'll talk as brothers. But once we step outside, he's not my brother again. He's his excellence. He has become the governor. He's seated in an office. You respond to that office, not to him as your brother. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. Praise God. And so the Bible said this. It said, I saw the Lord said, and the host of heaven, and verse 20, and the Lord said, who shall persuade him that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? 3 years had passed. Now God was interested in removing him. And this is how they plotted his overthrow. This is how they plotted the overthrow of Abacha. It took place in the courts of heaven. If you remember, if you were still young, you were not too young then, the church prayed about Abacha being removed. They prayed. They decided his case in the courts of heaven. It's only in Nigeria that I've seen church pray. When church agrees, I said, God, remove this government. I have government in Abacha. The reason why Buhari is still okay, because the church is still confused what to do about it. The day the church takes a decision, well, God, remove Buhari, Buhari is going. Because this matter will be decided in the courts of heaven. That's where they decide their cases. So we are all keep quiet. So you have one member of KAN will be saying, Buhari is good. Another member saying, Buhari is not good. So when you carry the matter to the courts of heaven, Satan say, look at them, oh, your people, oh, your church, oh, I agree. Your Lord, my Lord God, throw their case out. So nothing will happen to him. But let the church agree. I give him 1 week. Himself will not know where what will happen. One EG will just, the whole government will just scatter. And they say, Buhari has gone. That's the power of the church. It's called the ecclesia. If they know what they are doing, things will be easy. But that's not the discussion today. What am I trying to say? The Bible said, God said, who shall persuade him and bring him to battle that he may fall? Then the Bible says, and many spirits came. And God said, how will you do it? And he kept giving God suggestions. God knew what to make Joab for. But God needed some spirits to go and do it. Now, these are not angels of God. These are fallen spirits. Remember Lucifer came into, they used to come into the throne to be accusing brethren. They were there again today. They came around. And God said, I want someone to go and deal with Ahab. And they kept saying all kinds of manner of everything. Then verse 22, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Verse 22, and the Lord said, how will you do it? He said, I'll go forth and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And God said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. So he now said this, therefore behold, the Lord had put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Praise God. I want to end there this evening. I'll continue next week. God helping me. That once, so when we're talking about warfare of the kingdom, there are spirits that are fighting us, and usually they also fight us from the governmental perspective, where they make unrighteous decrees, where they provoke government entities to do things that affect you and I. It will not affect their children. It will not affect their lineage. It will only affect you and I. You now begin to understand why Paul said to Timothy, He said to Timothy, he said, Timothy, this is what he said. He said, Timothy, pray. Pray. Exhort thee therefore, first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are where in authority. Because if you and I do not do it, we will not lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You begin to wonder why Nigeria is the way we are. It's because the church has not been praying the way they should pray. We have only succeeded to, we have only learned how to remove people from government. We have not learned how to pray for people in government that they may take decisions that will enable you and I to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. That when we pray, is it police life I pray for? If I say that the whole deeper life you pray for police, they have more than enough prayer points. Deeper life can't finish praying for police, Nigerian police alone. We have Ministry of Education there. We have Nigerian Army there. What are the other...
Agreed.
The prayer point that we have, you'll be afraid. If you know what's going on in government, in the heart of men, you will just go home and say, just say, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. The depth of wickedness in their hearts, you'll be afraid. There's no corruption on those states. Where is it corruption? Corruption. There's no corruption. Get to Abuja, get to Asuro, and see corruption. You'll be afraid. When you get to America, you see another sophisticated level of corruption. It's demonic. Very, very demonic. They don't want us to live a quiet life. They don't want us to live a peaceful life. They don't want us to live a life in godliness and honesty. They want to corrupt us. You want to do business. Praise God. I want to close on this. Part of it, see, I talked about business earlier on, about people entering covenants with demons and all that. Fine. But have you done business before for government? And let's say the contract is about 10 million. And they tell you that, and you are going to use 5 million to do the work. Tax will take 30% of 10 million is 3 million. So you have 2 million spread on that business. The people giving the job will say they wanted to collect the 2 million as their profit. So you go and find a way how you are going to remain, you are going to use the remaining 5 million to do the work and still have a profit. Where will you not cut corners? Now some of them will say 10 million, yeah? They are collecting 4 million. You have 6 million. Out of that 6 million, you pay a tax of about 1 million. Oku 5 million. You will sell 2 boys, another 1 million. And you still have to do the work of 5 million. And you have to take something back home to your wife and children. Tell me when you will not pay bribe. Tell me how you will not do it. So how can you live in all honesty? So everything is stacked up against us. Satan has pushed us out of everything. We can't make headroom. We can't make headway, I beg your pardon. So we now know why we have to wage war and fight him at that governmental level. It's not, we can't shy away. We shy away whenever they will squeeze us. Even we walking out of your house, police will stop you and say, come here. Yeah, wait till you carry. He's a demon. If you report him to your guy, he's going to deliver to your guy. Guy's going to deliver to your guy. There was a time like that, one of the IGs. So when they send out signal on Friday, IG is hungry. Police will just hit the roads all over the country. Pack. If you wear shoe, the shoe is not, they are not looking the same. They will ask you for receipt. Because they must deliver back to Abuja. And the person who was president knew he was doing it, but they can't talk. Because of this wickedness that was in high places. So you now know why we need to wage war. If this gospel must move. How do you preach a gospel to a man whose heart is corrupt? You know why many... See, I want to close on this. Praise God. Do you know why many men don't go to church? There is a wife that goes to church. Because a man cannot come to church and be preaching holiness. Because he knows what he has to do to survive out there. He has to bribe. He has to do so many. He has to cut corners. Every time he comes to church and preach that kind of message, the man's conscience is pricked. They don't like it. So they'll stay at home and be drinking. And tell their wife, go and pray. So go and pray. Just pray that God will bless us. And they go back and do it. That's the way things are. And of course, for the husband to make the money, he has to carry girlfriend. He has to go to Babalawo. He has to join court. He has to go to club. The thing is, look, there is no way men can come to God the way these whole things are arranged. If the church does... So the kind of why evangelism is very ineffective. The one that we need to do, we are looking for small... God will have mercy on us.
Amen.
So if you have questions, you can either please signify from your center. If anyone has a question, you can write it and we will take it. So as I bring this whole thing to a close, I want to encourage us. Like Paul said, we should pray for those who are in government. I've been in government before and I know what it means to sit on the seat. Me, ordinary level 9 officer, the day I sit on my seat in the office without even praying or committing my way to the Lord, that day, I have no interest in doing any work. No file. You call my table and I will treat it. I open the file. I have no interest. I just throw it away. I know, just keep it KIV. Just like KIV. Keep in view. Then bring up again. I just write it. I just push it away. No interest. But then I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, every demon that is over this office, I bind you. I say, I will walk. That day, they will almost use work to kill me. So and I said, this small level 9 officer, me, small level 9, is seated on this seat and demons are fighting me. And then there's no hope for the governor. There's no hope. If he doesn't have a prayer unit that is praying for him. No. So you now know why the state governments are not going. You now know why we can't prosper. Because there are demons attacking their minds. So we have a lot of work to do. And God will help us in Jesus' name. So before we pray, are there questions? Are there contributions? Maybe you have a personal experience along this line, just like I've shared, and you'd like us to learn from you. Or there is a secondary illumination you want us to come into. We'll really appreciate it. Any questions? No question? I'll give you 2 minutes to make up your mind. Any questions from the house? Any illumination? Any politician around that wants to ask us a question? Or those that tend to go to politics? Sister Asheye, you are a daughter of a politician. Tell us a little you know about what goes on in the meetings. You have not gone to meetings. At least they brought me in to meet you. Yeah, come and talk so that they can pick up your voice.
And the people have known about now since about the policies they do.
Yeah.
That when they bring money.
Okay.
Everybody in the meeting wants to have a share.
Okay.
First of all. Then when they now share the money generally, they still want to have another share.
Of what? What are they sharing? You have shared the money now.
Of the token that is left.
Me, I don't understand that mathematics. So they brought 10 naira or they brought 100 naira.
Okay.
Are they not supposed to share it equally?
So there are 5 people in the meeting.
Project your voice.
Maybe they brought 100 naira.
Okay.
And there are 5 people.
Yeah.
At the meeting.
Yeah.
The 5 people want to have 30 naira first.
That was 50 naira.
As far we came to the meeting.
Okay.
Then when they have to share the remaining 50 naira into 2 naira, they still want to have
their own
part of that.
So greed is driving them.
Yes.
Praise God.
Not just greed. Not just greed. They want to be the ones that will decide the matters. They want to be there when everything happens.
But they also eat now. Don't they eat?
Yes, yes.
That's communion. Even at that level, they are doing communion service. So you should understand that when you come to church and do communion service, it's not different from what they are doing in a political setting. One person told me that when you get to a political meeting, they were saying there's a way they were chanting like a occultic chant. All these things are very, very, they're all demonic. And you now know the way a politician mind thinks. All he's interested in is what can he get. They're not interested in developing this country. So, what I tell people, the demons that is fighting Nigeria, that controls Nigeria, is a demon of corruption. That is the demon we are fighting. The demon has one thing, pervert us in our mindset. Even the politician that is a billionaire is still stealing. And you begin to wonder, why are you not satisfied? Is there no time you will not get enough money as a little? It's a spirit. And once you come under that control, if we don't bind that spirit, we don't cast out that spirit, there will be nothing to share again. No. There will be nothing to share. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Any other question?
Yes, from Mitchell. From Ajulola Sukomi.
Okay.
What should a believer do when faced with the example you cited about business contracts?
What should a believer do? What I will do when I look at the whole offer you are giving me, and when I calculate, I say I cannot meet it, I walk away. In fact, what I understand now is that they don't even call anybody for contract. They do it themselves. They don't even award the contract. They will just generate fake receipts and write fake reports and say that they have done the work and pocketed money. You that are a contractor, you are using, I want to be, when I hear people talk about, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to work for myself, I will just do like this, I'll be looking at it. Oh, my, oh, this debit, I hate my bear. Because what business do you want to do in Nigeria? If you are doing business and you are not doing government business, oh, this is a business. Because government business, you can be a millionaire overnight. This is the best place in the world. That you wake up a poor man and go to bed a multi-millionaire. But now it's not like that. The civil servants and the politicians do the jobs themselves. So I will advise you, when you get there, walk away. Just walk away. Leave them with their job. They don't even need you in the first instance. As far as they are concerned, they are doing you a favor. So how will I use my company? Do a job that will be substandard. And they will give me a letter that I've done the work perfectly. And tomorrow somebody will be cursing me and somebody said, did this work. I don't want that work. Just take your work and walk away. Praise God. So that's what I will do if I were to be in that kind of position. That's why I'm not doing business again. There's no business. The only business I do is private people. They will call me and say, Pastor, I want to do solar. I tell you, this will cost you 2 million. Ah, it's too much. It's not by force. I carry my leg and go. Praise God. It's not my boss. Amen. I mean, you cannot give me contract and be asking me for a kickback now. Doesn't make sense. So you understand. So that's what I want to charge you. That's what you will pay. So it's not, there's no happy panky. But if it's government, you must be very careful. Don't throw away your salvation because you want to eat. Like the Yoruba say, don't because you want to eat normal. You want to eat beef. You're not going to start prostrating to Malu. It makes no sense. Sure. Praise God. Any other question? But nobody is even asking me questions about spiritually. How do we deal with these unseen entities? How do we fight them? Maybe next week we will go into all this. Maybe I'll still show you more. There are examples that abound in scriptures. You know, Herod wanting to kill Jesus. Those were demons. They were demon-possessed people. The Bible says 10 kings got together to give Lucifer power. This is how they are running it. The present world system is demonic. All that is happening between China and America, all these things, is demonic operations playing out. And we must realize why we need to pray. No, a prophet was saying, said they should pray for Trump. Trump may not be the best man, may not be the most ideal man. But Trump was put there by God to buy us time. He may not talk well. Sometimes he may just talk of tangent and say, but Trump has a mission, and they are ganging up badly. And when you look at the way they have set the whole something, it's like Psalm 2. It says, why do the nations rage and the people imagine vain things? People are imagining vain things because they are Libra. They are globalists. They want to break the order of God. They don't want to be conservatives anymore. They don't want to obey God's law. They want to have their way and do whatever there are spirits pushing that agenda. And we have to go to the courts of heaven and learn how to thwart their counsel. Hallelujah. Can we pray as we close today? Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for helping us. I thank you for the utterance. I thank you for helping us with the examples. I thank you, Father, for opening our understanding. Father, I'm asking and praying that it will not just be an information thing. You will teach us how to apply it in our everyday lives, in the way we pray, in the way we position our hearts, in the name of Jesus. That we will not be corrupted. We will not become redundant. The enemy will not neutralize us by mere hijacking the government and making things unreal and making things difficult and making it impossible for us to serve God in this present time, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give us the wisdom. Give us authority. Amen. Give us the power to take a stand and fight this fight and bring your will to pass upon our nation. Father, we know, we recognize that we have a mandate to disciple the nations. Father, we don't know how to go about it. But Lord, teach your church how to go about this in the name of Jesus. I thank you for everyone who has listened. I commit everyone to your care, Lord, that your peace will be with every one of us in Jesus' name. To you be all the glory, because we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our Men of Spirit Field meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.